grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. No one can doubt that we live in a broken world and that we are all in various ways broken human beings. In his autobiography, John Henry Newman, one of many remarkable Christian writers of the 19th century, speaks in a way which expresses this reality in a truly compelling, unforgettable way. Newman speaks of the greatness and littleness of man, his far-reaching aims, his short duration, the curtain hung over his future, the disappointments of life, the defeat of good, the success of evil, physical pain, mental anguish, the prevalence and intensity of sin, the pervading idolatries, the corruption, the dreary, hopeless irreligion, that condition of the whole race so fearfully yet exactly described in the Apostle Paul's words, having no hope and without God in the world. All this is a vision to dizzy and appall and inflicts upon the mind the sense of a profound mystery which is absolutely beyond human solution. What shall be said to this heartbreaking, bewildering fact? I can only answer that either there is no creator, or that this living society of human beings is discarded from his presence. And since there is a creator, the human race is implicated in some terrible aboriginal calamity. It is out of joint with the purposes of its creator. This is a fact as true as the fact of the world's existence. And thus, the doctrine of what is called original sin is almost as certain as that the world exists and as the existence of God. This is, as Newman says, a vision to dizzy and appall. And no one can doubt that we live in a broken world and that we are all without exception and in various ways broken human beings. Our Lord's disciples, fearfully gathered behind locked doors following his death and burial, were very broken indeed. All their hopes were ended, and their hearts were filled with fear that they might suffer the same fate as their beloved teacher and friend. Their world was in ruins. But then, on the evening of that first Easter day, unhindered by those locked doors, Jesus came. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The risen Lord's word of peace means far more than the absence of conflict. His word of peace conveys a sense of wholeness, of restoration of what has been broken and out of joint, of God's unmerited grace and favor toward us broken, mortal sinners. And the risen Lord's word of peace to his broken disciples is also his word of peace to this whole broken, sorrowing, death-bound world. The risen Lord Jesus not only speaks this word of peace, he is peace, the embodied peace of God, in whom God and man, heaven and earth, are one. Because he took upon himself all our brokenness and rebellion against our Creator, because he suffered and died under that burden, and as the innocent Lamb of God answered for it and atoned for it, took on himself that burden of the whole world's sin, and left it all dead and buried in his tomb, and in the watery tomb of our baptism, and then rose in glorious splendor. Everything that was broken and out of joint has been made whole, and clothing us in the bright shining garments of his risen life, which is now ours through faith and hope, and will be fully known and seen when he appears in glory to make all things new. But for the time being, our Savior continues to heal our brokenness as we repent of all that contradicts his love, compassion, his mercy, his peace. We cannot seek his peace if we refuse to be at peace with one another. We cannot seek his mercy if we are unmerciful to those who've offended us in some way. It's not our business to think about other people's sins. It is our business to recognize our own sins, to repent of them, to confess them, and seek his promised forgiveness. Our healing is found in his wounds, in those glorious scars still to be seen in the body of the risen Lord. In his wounds is peace. In his wounds is holiness. And in his wounds, there is joy. And so, gazing on those glorious scars, the marks of his love for us in all our brokenness, and his love for this terribly broken world, we must say with St. Thomas, "My Lord and my God." And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.